The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome into another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined by John Moon Mullen. Moon, we're outside today, our usual downstairs coat closet. Not available because the Bears are doing a photo shoot with some guy named Khalil Mack. I don't know if you've heard of him.
He's a camera hog. He's a moth. Anytime the camera goes on, he wants to talk.
That is the exact opposite of who Khalil Mack is.
Exactly.
Which is a good thing for the Bears. We want to hit on some points here today. Signs of encouragement, signs of concern for the Bears after week one. The podcast that Lawrence Holmes, Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, and Matt Forte did right after the game, that was a really good podcast. You guys should listen to that if you want a recap of the game. But since it's Wednesday, our attention is turned toward the Seahawks. Let's kind of see what can we take out of Sunday's game, apply it to this week two game, and then the rest of the season. So, Moon, let's start. You kind of wrote about this a little bit, but some signs of concern for the Bears starting on defense. The big plays specifically, those are kind of uncharacteristic for this group. Is there a solution for that going forward? Is it just like better tackling, better focus?
Well, yes. The reason why that's concerning is that wasn't the area that was supposed to be developing, or in need of developing. It didn't have a new coach. The new people it had were going to be Khalil Mack. You know, so this is not like a rookie quarterback. This is a four-year veteran, the best defensive player, one of the two in the league. So to see them collapse and to break that down even further, where were some of the breakdowns? Well, they were in the secondary. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, wasn't that the unit that gets – they're bringing all four guys back. Ryan Pace doubled the price for the same cornerbacks, and they had breakdowns. So, you know, if you're looking for positives, hopefully it ignites something. I think Eddie Jackson, I think you talked to Daniel Trevathan, not a complacency, but they got complacent. Oh, well, 12's out of the game, and we're up by 17 points, and now we're up 20 points, and oh, my God, here he comes. Mm-hmm. So – they couldn't get the engine to start over, perhaps, but that unit, for example, that wasn't supposed to be a problem.
Right.
And it was. So, you know, and maybe the motivation will just light a fire under these guys, because all of a sudden the moment was too big for them. Mm-hmm. And that applies on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you kind of bring up the complacency thing. Danny Trevathan mentioned it after the game. Like you said, Eddie Jackson mentioned it here on Wednesday, that they got kind of complacent, they got a little bit lazy. And I think probably some of that was, you go into halftime, you're up 17-0, Aaron Rodgers is out of the game, and you're thinking, we got this. We beat the hell out of DeShone Kizer last year. We got this game. And then all of a sudden, 12 runs out of the tunnel, starts making passes. They change the scheme a little bit, so it's a lot of quick throws, and the Bears' defense couldn't respond. I think, to me, that's the biggest concern, is that the Bears' defense just couldn't have an answer for a game plan that's not really anything novel. It was a pretty simple game plan, and they didn't have any answers.
No, and that, again, that's a concern because, as I mentioned, their starting point is Vic Fangio. Mm-hmm. He's seen Brett Favre. It looked like Brett Favre. In fact, just as good as Brett Favre. No, there should have been the adjustment issues. Shouldn't have been complicated. You know, of course, you know, three-step, he went all, you know, three- and five-step drop, no huddle and shotgun. Fangio has seen that. Mm-hmm. Most of his defense has seen that, and yet, going back to the secondary, you know, all of a sudden, if you're rushing those guys, the old concept, Dan Hampton, take two steps, get your hands up. You're not going to sack the guy. Also, therefore, your secondary can play tighter, and that didn't happen, or they just didn't play effectively. So, yeah, to adjustments happen every series of downs. You know, we shouldn't overemphasize what happened at halftime or here. But if you come off the field and all of a sudden they've started doing something, you need to respond that series. Mm-hmm. And as you say, they didn't do it. And that's a little concerning for a veteran bunch.
Yeah, I think on both sides of the ball, the lack of successful adjustments, or just maybe even the lack of adjustments, whatever it was just, that was probably the most concerning thing. Because you look on the offensive side of the ball, and as soon as Mike Pettine's defense kind of got their feet wet and they kind of got adjusted to the offense, it just it kind of cratered, and they couldn't move the ball for quarters.
And that's, you know, now kind of switching sides of the football. And again, it's easy, I won't say make excuses, but that's what it is, to say, well, it's only Trubisky's 13th start. It was only Matt Nagy's first game as a head coach, but it was the same issues, some of the same issues that he had the last time he was calling plays, which was in the playoff game. What surprised me on that side of the football was last year, I think you'd agree, watching Mitch Trubisky, he was not intimidated by the moment. Mm-hmm. He wasn't always good, but he wasn't. Sunday, it looked like he was intimidated by the moment, we'll say. And I shouldn't say intimidated, but he was pulling his eyes down. He wasn't mm-hmm. accurate. That's why he was drafted, because he mm-hmm. completed 68% of his passes. So, you know, we saw, in the first half, we saw what they can be. In the second half, we saw what they can be. And, you know, that wasn't so good. So how well they respond to that, and how well Trubisky says, you know what, I did. I kind of really messed up there. I need to do this. And Matt Nagy saying, I need to do this better. Mm-hmm. The adjustments, yeah, they're halftime, they're every series, and now they've had a week to change some things.
Yeah, I think the moment being too big for Trubisky, I don't know if I totally buy that, just because the you look at the drive that they had when they got the ball with about 9.5 minutes to go, and Trubisky hit a real nice third down pass to Anthony Miller and looked composed, he looked poised on that drive, and then you get down to inside the red zone, and I thought it was interesting, Matt Nagy on Monday said he liked that play call, the one where they passed it, Miller couldn't come down with the ball, he was shy of the sticks anyway. The Bears liked that play call, they thought it was going to work. And, you know, you can talk about they should have given the ball to Jordan Howard all you want, but that was the one play that wasn't successful that Nagy said, you know what, no, that play actually should have worked. Mm-hmm. Mike Ferry said if Miller comes down with that ball, he can break the tackle of Jackson, mm-hmm. and then he gets the first down, or Trubisky can maybe hit Cone. So that was more of an execution thing on that play. But I think the concern is that Trubisky, if you look at that play, I don't know what his first read was, if his first read was Miller, if his first read was Cohen, but he kind of went with the, not like the easier throw, but the more simple throw, the one that was easier to execute, just get the ball into Miller's hands instead of hit Cohen with good timing where he has a step then on Justin Gilbert in the end zone. I just wonder if the, you know, we've been hearing for so long about how this offense takes time and it takes time and it takes time. I think it might take more time than we think, based on what we saw on Sunday, potentially.
I guess. Again, that's. I'm not a big fan of patience, even though I know it has to be there. See NFL. You have 16 games. Your general manager is 14-35 now. Mm-hmm. So those guys, your veteran defense should keep you in all these games while these steps come. And what you want to see is creativity beyond just putting Charles Leno out in the slot. I mean, I'd be curious to see how Seattle responds to what they saw. Mm-hmm. You know, looking ahead to that game, you know, they don't have the Legion of Boom anymore, so he's not going to be dealing with Richard Sherman. But it's going to be a home. It's going to be another primetime game, and Seattle obviously they had the advantage in Green Bay of a lot of plays that hadn't been scouted. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. I mean, it was sort of, well, they haven't seen these looks, so maybe a third of the plays hadn't been on tape or on anywhere, unless they sent scouts to Bourbonnais.
Those drones flying over practice are the, some fans in a bucket hat, maybe.
Yeah, I think that, that construction crew, I'm very suspicious of these guys right now. But, you know, now they've seen Trubisky, and they know some things about this offense. So each week it's going to get a little harder. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be. In fact, it was funny to try to read Mike McCarthy's face. Like, what are they doing over there? Like with this razzle dazzle, which goes back to the once upon a time 20 years ago, Gary Croton rolled in with that kind of stuff. But now they are on tape a little bit, and what Trubisky likes or what Trubisky doesn't. If we do this, he'll respond this way. Now and again, it's. You're always looking at previous year or as much as you have of a guy on film, but now they have this year with mm-hmm. this coaching staff, and Green Bay showed them, well, we can do this, and that'll get them off his game.
All right, we're going to take a break here on the Under Center podcast, come back afterwards, and look ahead to this Monday night game against Seattle. So stick with us here on NBC Sports Chicago.
Have you ever wanted to watch a Cubs game with David Kaplan? Now's your chance. Every authentic fan night, tune in to NBC Sports Chicago's Facebook page and watch the sixth inning sidecast with Cap, David DeJesus, and more special guests. They'll take your questions as they comment on the game action.
All right, we're back here on the Under Center podcast. JJ Stankovic, John Moon Mullen. This game Monday night, it still is 1 of 16. I guess it's 2 of 16. And, you know, we knew there was going to be a lot of added importance on this Green Bay game. I don't think Mitch Trubisky is definitely bad. I don't think Matt Nagy is definitely a bad coach. I don't think this Bears defense, it's easy to extrapolate off of one game. But this game Monday night, it's your first shot at a home game if you're Matt Nagy. And we've heard all week so far about how, you know, we got to make sure that Sunday night is a learning experience and it's not something that's going to define our season. This is your first chance to prove that that game Sunday night is not lingering into this week. Now, walking into the locker room on Wednesday, it was a pretty jovial atmosphere in there. I think players have moved on, but they also haven't really started preparing for Seattle yet because you have Thursday, Friday practices, then Saturday's kind of your walkthrough day. Sunday you're off, Monday you play. So what I want to see out of the Bears on Sunday is that sustained effort for four quarters, and not kind of, if they get a lead again, figuring out how to keep it and not kind of play tentative or not get lazy or do any of these things that we've kind of seen the Bears do in week one. I think that is going to be the biggest tell for this game on Monday night.
Yeah, and I'll be curious. I want to see how Matt Nagy responds. And it's so easy to second guess. I mean, that's why we have jobs. But you know what we saw, for example, in the Kansas City playoff loss, where he abandoned the run and got skewered for it, and rightly so. Yeah, I think they threw five passes in the second half when they started out 21-3. In this game, and now look, going to be ultimately where are we going with Seattle? But in the Green Bay game, he has a 20-0 lead, and didn't use Jordan Howard. Almost like, you know what, there's. It didn't seem to have a good compass. And again, we're talking about a young head coach. Pete Carroll knows some things. I mean, he's going to bring some things that are going to confound Nagy's offense. I'm wondering what the Seattle Seahawks will look at. I mean, obviously the Bears are looking and saying, well, gee, what Von Miller did it. Let's see Khalil Mack do that to Russell Wilson. But how they scheme, how they attack Trubisky, how they attack Nagy. If we put him in this situation, this is how he responded. Now a book starts to develop. I'm not sure what Seattle's going to bring. They're coming off a tough game as well. So, two teams licking wounds as they come into this game.
This might sound weird. I almost want to see Mitch Trubisky throw an interception on Monday because I want to see him try to test something. We saw a couple times in the first half where he kind of tested a throw. Maybe it was incomplete. Maybe it was complete to Allen Robinson on some of those. But just see him be a little, like a tick more aggressive with his throws and trying to stretch the ball downfield. And, you know, if it results in Earl Thomas cutting the route and picking you off, you know what? You took the shot.
He's done it to better.
Right. Yeah, right. He's done it to better. Just to see, even, and you know what? Dave Ragone talked a lot on Monday about how he liked how Trubisky threw with conviction on a lot of his throws. But I think you need to see more of that. I think you need to see more of throwing with conviction while being aggressive.
Every game.
Yeah.
And when the game's on the line. So, you know, how he steps up and what he shows, did he learn from that? Mm-hmm. And did he, you touched on, I think on Monday asked Nagy, well, you know, you coached him all during camp and told, you know, there were so many interceptions, and the reason was, well, we were asking him to force the action. Well, do it again. Only this time make sure you know which color of laundry it ends up in. So I'm with you. I think that was I want to see him play with some abandon and not be afraid of a pick. You know, going back to mentioned Favre earlier, well, his rookie year, or this is really his, I'm going to call this Trubisky's rookie year, but interceptions are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if you're an aggressive offense, which the Bears want to be, take a chance. Take it, throw at Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
Try it. Let's see what happens.
And you know what? I think back to last year, Trubisky's first two games, where the first game he tried to force that throw in, got baited by Harrison Smith, picked off, Vikings go and win the game. Second game, that third down throw he had to Kendall Wright where he kind of avoided the pressure, threw like a jump pass to get. That was one of the best passes we've ever seen Mitch Trubisky make. I want to see more of that. Even if it does mean Earl Thomas baits you into an interception, if you're being aggressive doing it, then that can kind of permeate the rest of the offense, and I think that will benefit him more. I mean, look, the Denver Broncos beat the Seahawks with Case Keenum throwing three interceptions. So it can be done. I'm not saying you want to see Trubisky throw three, but if he throws one while being aggressive and just being aggressive the entire game, throwing with some conviction, clicking through his progressions and making a decision, I think that will be a pretty positive step here.
Do you think the grading of Trubisky, and we always grade on a curve in the NFL, you aren't good or bad in a vacuum. Are you better or worse than somebody else? You know, Pat Mahomes goes out and he, in his first real start as AFC Offensive Player of the Week, Sam Darnold. Is Trubisky going to be held up to standards set by those guys? Mm-hmm. I think he will. I think he probably, there's going to be a lot of comparing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ryan Pace kind of put a bullseye on him by trading up to get him and then surprising mm-hmm. everybody by making it him and not Deshaun Watson. I think you're going to see some. I think we're going to see a lot of comparisons as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him last year when Deshaun Watson got off to that amazing start, and everyone's like, "Well, why didn't he take this guy?" Deshaun Watson didn't have a great game against New England last week, but I mean, look, I think you're absolutely right that the quarterbacks who are top picks in the span of a year or two are always going to be compared to each other, and whether it is Pat Mahomes, whether it is Deshaun Watson, or Darnold or Josh Allen, who's going to start this week for the woebegone Buffalo Bills, that you will be compared to that, and it is kind of a point of, well, did you make the right decision? I don't think you can say right now that Mitch Trubisky is going one way or the other because he started 13 games in his career. Monday will be 14, and he's got a lot to learn. Matt Nagy has a lot to learn as well. I just think that it's so early right now. But there are certain things you want to see out of this offense on Monday night. And I think, I think they're confident they can go ahead and do them. That's kind of the impression that I've got based on those first couple drives and then some of the extended ones they did have in the second half.
I think what also has to happen, you were mentioning Trubisky, but there's a few other, looking big picture at what the Bears need. You know, Ryan Pace needs impact out of his number ones. Now, we're talking about Trubisky. We saw some out of Roquan Smith. That's what they need. They need that next level.
They need him to play more, too.
More, yes. I they put him as the he's still a backup in the depth chart. We'll see how that goes. I'm sure they won't tell us until he walks out with the starters maybe on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We didn't see anything of Kevin White, which really had been impressive. I thought he'd been pretty good in training camp. So that was a surprise. But they need and Leonard Floyd, a disappointment. So they need all – this is the time, okay, put the pedal all the way down, Ryan Pace – this is your team. This is the guy you wanted as a head coach. This is the quarterback you wanted. And these are the number ones. I want to see that group, not just Mitch Trubisky. I need to see Leonard Floyd take over a game. Mm-hmm. Khalil Mack, we know. Well, Leonard Floyd was he wasn't a higher draft. He was the ninth pick, and whereas Mack was a five, but that's splitting hairs. But this organization, this franchise won't go anywhere unless they're collectively rising. So I'm looking for more than just Trubisky against Seattle.
You look at some of the hits the Bears have had in recent drafts and, it's got some second-rounders, some mid-rounders. How about Roy Robertson-Harris, though, on Sunday? That guy deserves a big shout-out for what he did. I mean, the pick-six that Mack had, I was making this comment to Kevin Fishbane, and I don't know how big the audience is here that played NFL Quarterback Club 2000 on the Nintendo 64, but this is a video game moon. And in that game, you could get a linebacker to the line of scrimmage, and as soon as the ball was snapped, you could hit the B button, and you would just dive between the center and guard and sack the quarterback. And I was like, that is what Roy Robertson-Harris did on that play. Granted, it was a screen, but the ball was snapped, and he just dove and almost got to Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Kizer, then forced the pick six. That was a really encouraging sign to see what Roy Robertson-Harris did. This defensive line, I don't even think I'm worried about the front seven. Yeah, Leonard Floyd didn't show up a whole lot, but look, the front seven did a phenomenal job and then got schemed out of the game, essentially, in the second half. So the secondary is where I think you need to see more of that. You need to see Kyle Fuller come back mentally strong from dropping that interception. You need to see Prince Amukamara come back. He talked about it on Wednesday, about having thick skin in the film review, because himself included, there were some plays that he left out there. If the secondary can come out on Monday and show that, specifically them, can show that, you know, okay, that game was an aberration because Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL right now, I'm going to feel pretty good about this. The one last point on that. You remember last year, week one, the Austin Hooper play, 88 yards, where the Bears were, like, right in that game against the defending NFC champions, and then Austin Hooper hit him down the middle for 88 yards. He stiff-armed Quinton Demps into oblivion, and it was like, well, here we go again. Then the Bears' defense turned out to be okay last year. So there is kind of that resiliency in this group. They just now have to go back out and show it, which I don't think they would have liked to have to do.
No, and I think you mentioned Robertson Harris, and I think that's a really key guy to watch. You know, it's funny, I look at him physically, he reminds me of Calais Campbell, and I'm not comparing him to that, but that 6'7", 6'8", guy who it can be disruptive, and with his hands up, he's making the secondary better. Mm-hmm. So the only thing about, you know, we talk about the Bears' defense, it was a top 10 statistically. It was the quietest top 10 defense I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. You know, well, we 8 interceptions. That's the definition of quiet.
Yeah.
That has to change. But it will come from those top, the front three. They were, although I don't know what percentage was high. They were in nickel. I mean, a lot of times Khalil Mack was his hand on the ground. He and Floyd were DNs in a 4-3, or a 4-2-5, whatever. So they need. It has to happen. The kind of plays we saw Akeem Hicks making early and Khalil Mack. Okay, fella, they need more of those kind, the Earl Thomas. Mm-hmm. That's the special. That will make them special. They're good. That's not good enough to take over a game. We saw a very quiet top 10. I doubt that they'll change anything they play. Just hopefully Eddie Jackson doesn't try to miss by an inch this time. But they're needing those kind of plays. And I think they need to play with the recklessness. And I'm sure they coach that into them. Play like Akeem Hicks did. Play like Robertson Harris did in the first half. Those kind of impact plays can take over a game and really lessen the pressure on Mitch Trubisky.
What did John Fox always say? The day after a game is a crisis or a carnival?
Yeah.
If they don't win on Monday, it will be a red alert crisis, which is maybe a little bit unfair, but, I mean, that's what it will be. If they do win, it'll be kind of a light carnival maybe, but it will be, I think that this game is going to get a lot read into it just because if you come back off of the Green Bay game and you're flat, that's going to be a really bad look. But if you come out and you play the way you did in the first half in Green Bay and then you extend that over the course of four quarters and you beat the Seahawks, then I think we can say, okay, this team isn't going to let that Green Bay game define them this season. That doesn't mean necessarily anything for the next 14 games, but it at least is a good rebound by a young team with a young coach. I think that would be a positive.
Yeah, and you can say, like we mentioned earlier, what they did in the first half, now you can believe that because they did it. It wasn't it wasn't luck of the dice or something. That's in there, and so is the second half. And so maybe this should be the wake-up call. You say which team will show up against the Seahawks, but... I wonder if it's just one of those cases where, with your offense, would you take, if you won the coin flip, you know, everybody defers now. I want it for the start of the second half. I'm not sure with Trubisky if I wouldn't want to just get on the board, get Soldier Field rocking, take the ball, go down and score, and take this game over right from the get-go. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they probably won't, but I'm calling heads for now.
Yeah, you take those scripted plays and you go downfield, and maybe it's easier to hold on to a lead when you have the crowd behind you and you don't have number 12 coming out of the tunnel at halftime.
Yeah, normally it should be easier to hold it. You know, 20 points. I'm still shaking our heads that you blew a 20-point lead and you're already 6 minutes into the, whatever. I mean, that's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
And 21 points in the fourth quarter. And those are the things that really you should also be an incredible jolt to the defense. Like you said, we were talking earlier, just to wrap it up, the complacency, or we were – I think Alex Brown, you mentioned the podcast with Alex and Lance Briggs and Matt and Lawrence Holmes. They questioned the effort. And these are guys who know what it looks like. So I'm kind of not saying you guys didn't try because you can't see inside somebody's head. But Alex Brown, he cited a couple of, that's an effort play or a lack of effort play. And it's like, whoa. You know, so my keys to the game this week, it's mental.
Yep.
You know, there's some talent here. They have five number ones. and plus Eddie Goldman, and there's a lot of talent on that defense. Don't ever tell me you're complacent against anybody. Put your foot in their throat and end it.
Yep.
Get it over with. Put them out of their misery, which is what they should do.
All right, so this is kind of a weird week because we're up here on a Wednesday. We haven't really got it started with game prep, neither of the Bears, so I'm going to kind of forego a prediction on the podcast. You can read it on NBCSportsChicago.com later this week. After the game, be sure to tune into the Football After Show. Lawrence Holmes, Matt Forte, Alex Brown, Lance Briggs. Moon, I know you watched the show. You kind of used something from Forte in the game. That is that's an all-star lineup. The show DVR'd, I went back and watched it. Great job by all four of those guys. Then the podcast afterwards, be sure to download that for your commute on Tuesday. Yeah. And then Moon and I will be back here next Wednesday for a podcast previewing the Arizona Cardinals game. So the season keeps moving on.
Never boring.
Aaron Rodgers won't have to be here back. They won't have to face the Bears again until December, and that's probably a good thing.
That's a very good thing. I think for a lot of people, they're still licking their wounds up here in Dallas. So hopefully they're all over it by next Monday night.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Under Center Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone.